We left off yesterday introducing Rav Huna's Shita. Not only is Chuppah Kriya Nisuin, the Chuppah can be used in place of Kiddushin as well. And everybody else seems to disagree with Rav Huna. Whether Rav Huna even gets a chance in terms of Psach Halacha, so we said yesterday will probably depend upon how does Rav Huna deal with the issue of Dayo. So we had four different Biurim, how Dayo fits into the picture. If you hold like Tosfos that Rav Huna ultimately ignores Dayo, because Rav Huna held a Kriya Tarfon, that's not going to bode well for Rav Huna Lamaskana. Then we had other approaches, there's a rush, there's a Yeshua, different ways to try to somehow salvage Rav Huna and not be so concerned with Dayo. The Chopanim, we're going to give Rav Huna a fighting chance. We give Rav Huna a statement of Chuppah Kriya B'Kavachemer as being a possibility. Which the summer shot may even end up to be the conclusion, but at least it's a possibility. It is a viable sheet out there. Even according to Tosfos, it's viable according to Bitar, it's viable according to somebody, that there is such a thing called Chuppah Kriya. And we have to stop and ask ourselves, what exactly would that have meant? Let's play it out, Lamaisa. What would that have meant? So we have a nice boy and a nice girl. They meet, I don't know where they meet, where it connects, I don't know, some singles event, I don't know, whatever, Torah, they meet somewhere, okay, and they start to go out for a little while, and everything's fine, they realize he's still in first year of college, and she's just came back also, and, parents start to get involved, come on, you guys know what I'm talking about, and one semester becomes another semester, and finally, somewhere along the way, they decide they're going to get married, okay, good, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, and the big date is set. And they come, stand, and ready to march down the aisle. If it's an outdoor chuppah, an indoor chuppah, marina, Eden Palace, I don't know, Nimes HaChaim, Lake, you pick your cave, your place, wherever you choose to go through the process. And you get to the chuppah, and he's scrounging around. I can't find that ring. Yeah, there's a ring, no ring. We were a star. Then, what are you gonna do? So the guy is really good. He says, "I remember we learned Masechet Kedushin." He said, "Oh, way, way back, we learned Masechet Kedushin. Mashana Aleph, 6 months ago. Remember we learned Masechet Kedushin?" And he gets up and he stands under the chuppah. He forgot. They didn't get that far. The Ishiv. They didn't get the Hamid Beis. They only got the Hamid Aleph. That was the end of the Zman. So they only saw Rav Huna. He didn't see anyone else disagree. But they stand under the chuppah and he says, "Harebu Kedash Li B'Chuppah Zot Kedash Ma'ishiv Yisrael." Ta-da! And then he breaks the glass, everyone starts singing and dancing Odi Shama. Okay, Givaldic. Are they married? They're not married. They're Kuntra Vuna, yeah. Kuntra Vuna, Mikudeshes. Do they have to do anything else? So we know that in order to get married, you have to have two processes. You have to have Kiddushin and you have to have Nisuin. So according to that worldview of Rav Huna, that Kiddushin was accomplished with Chuppah, did that make her into a Mikudeshes? Did that make her into an Arusa? But does that make her a sewer? What we're really asking is, well, what would you possibly do to make her a sewer? Assuming that she's not in a sewer yet, so what would you do again? So imagine what would the world would look like if she's not yet in a sewer. So comes the Tezer Rosh and Asuya, Tezer Rosh that was supposed to be in the Maimon Kermes, Tezer Rosh says that, one could argue that this, I don't mean to make fun of you, just kidding, okay? He's a good man. Doesn't mind Chromos. Excellent. Okay. So, Kosar Zerushin says that one could argue that she must become an Asua at that point. This standing under the Chuppah has to accomplish two things. It's got to be both Kedusha and Asua. There's no way otherwise. You know why? Because if not, says the Kosar Zerushin, you're going to be left with the absurd conclusion. If you're going to tell me that this chuppah, again, I'm just giving the example standing under chuppah. It could be chuppah means yichud, could be chuppah means something else. We're just giving the example of the canopy right now to make life, more dramatic. If you're going to tell me, says Tzitzis Rosh, that the chuppah that we just pulled off only creates kedushin, you're going to tell me that standing under this chuppah, all it did was kedushin. So what are you going to do to create nisuin? Give me something else that's going to create nisuin. So what are you going to do? So they're going to dance off, right? They're going to go dance off the, walking away. Mazel Tov, you're only in Arusa, and we're going to say, hey, wait a second, we got to make you into the sewer. So what do? We turn back around, tell the band to start playing slow music again, and they have to start marching back down again to stand under the chuppah again, l'shem nisuin. It says it does rush. This is a farce. It's a joke of the whole religion. My only hay chuppah says it does rush. How could that be? How could that look at such a bizarre situation that the chalais that you just accomplished kedushin was accomplished to a certain ma'isa, and then you can do the identical ma'isa to accomplish the next chalais. What does the second chuppah have over the first chuppah? So says it as the rush in the stomach. So it's a svar deraisa. Right, we're passing deraisa to gedinim. He's an afkaminis for. All the afkaminis. He's a real shaila. So comes it as a rush, and he says based on this svar de my omid aichu my chuppah. Let's find it as a rush. Said there's a rush. The kevim she kinda got me gemeres. The my omei the chuppah shechayik achlios gemeres tvei mechuppazu. Oy shema zokta there's a rush. I'm not sure what I just said. Says there's a rush. Shema ravuna chuppah kinda ubiya shechayik gemeres. Says it there's a rush. It's an unbelievable chiddush that maybe this chuppah only accomplished kedusha. Aye, so how is she going to become a nesua? To tell us that she's going to chuppah, another chuppah to become a nesua, that's absurd. That doesn't make any sense. But omid aichu mai chuppah. So maybe we're going to have to fall back on a second process, on a different process that also we could pull out of our back pocket, that is the ability to create nesua. And what's that called? Bia. The couple will go home, we'll have a bia together, and that bia will create the nesua. In order to not be concerned with this deraistic asvara, it is conceivable, says the Tazer Rush, that the first chuppah accomplished kedushin and B a subsequently is going to be accomplished nisuin. At can't be a Tazer Rush. What is the absolute assumption of this Tazer Rush that is so critical for us, even we who don't even accept Rav Huna, we don't even buy into Rav Huna, most of us don't even postulate Rav Huna, but what it does, the Rush is tell us an unbelievable chiddushim that we never knew before. What did he just tell us? What can accomplish nesuin? I always thought nesuin meant you have to stand under a chuppah. Nesuin meant you have to go to a yichud room. Nesuin meant you have to stand with poles. Nesuin meant you have to badek it. I had so many different possibilities of nesuin, and it tells the Rosh, just tell me another one. What is it? Well, bia. Bia is also a ma'aseh. Vavas is up to the Rosh. Not only is bia ma'aseh nesuin, in a certain sense, it's a what? It's a better ma'aseh nesuin. It's a stronger ma'aseh nesuin. It's a more powerful ma'aseh nesuin. And it makes sense to say that it can be the magic ma'aseh nesuin that we needed to follow chuppah as the ma'aseh kedushin. The only one we can pin our hopes on is bia. So you see an unbelievable thing called a Tazer Rush. You see, number one, that bia is the ma'aseh nesuin altogether. And number two, that it's an even more powerful ma'aseh nesuin than chuppah proper. So where did Tazer Rush know this from? Is this true? Is the whole thing true?
It's possible that he doesn't mean bia mamish, but rather
Tazer Rush said. Tazer Rush didn't say that. Tazer Rush meant that he would have said that. He said he's going to have a beer together.
According to the first part of Tazer Rush, because Bia is also a Kenyan and then Suin, would the Kiddushay Bia also affect Suin?
Well, there is a Gemara about that, and later on in Baptist, but the Gemara has such a discussion. There's a whole sugi about that. Okay? So that's part of this Tazer Rush, has to be understood in line of that sugi, right? But we're not going to get that sugi today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe next school, I don't know. Okay, so everybody say. Yeah.
So Bia is normally an act done without
Aiden. Okay, wait, we got a lot of things to talk about. So this Tazer Rush is an eye-opener for us. He just identified Bia as being a Ma'aseh Nesuin. So the emes is that Tazer Rush is not alone in that assumption. What other great Rishon says the same thing? That Bia is also a Ma'aseh. There's no Gemara about this anywhere in Shas. What other great Rishon says it? What? Ram says it, quoting who? Purim. The Ram says it. The Ram says the Farish. So you can do Bia, and that'll be a form of Nisuin as well. Nisuin is not only X, Y, and Z, whatever that X, Y, and Z is, but Bia is also considered to be a Maisi Nisuin. So come to Ram and asks in the Rambam, how can that be that Bia is a Maisi Nisuin? Who's going to ask me Kasha? Who's going to be Chabit in Ram's Kasha? Asher kiddushan b'tzvisah v'tzivan al harayos v'yos honu es harusas. Who's going to speak Kasha? No one saw the Ran? Didn't we have the Ran? Not in Kasha. Was the Ran's Kasha? Huh? What does asalanas harusas mean? What do the words mean? There's a nisr of what? There's a nisr to bol harusasai. You're not allowed to be Bala Risasai. So correct the Ran, Kash, and Rambam, you're talking in circles. You're telling me that a method to make a woman into a Nesua is through Bia. How in the world could the Maisa Bia with an Arusa that the Halacha says you're not allowed to do be the mechanism to create the Heter of Nesua? How does that magic work? That's a steer mine obey. I mean, you want to say that what the Rambam means is, since the Yisra of Arusa is not a mid the Rabbanon, Minatur it really works, maybe. But the Ran said, no, I thought that was a steer. The Ran says it's not just inconceivable that the mechanism of creating the suin should be a mechanism of Be'isr. It can't be.
I don't understand the Kash of the Ran, because doesn't the Rambam just say the second she steps into his domain, his house, and she's Roy Libya?
But the Rambam also says that what if she doesn't step into no domain and he goes in his Balat, not in his domain? So the Rambam says it's also called Nesuin. How could that be Nesuin? If the halacha is Bala Resos Beis Chamav is also. What's going on in the Rambam? What did the Rambam say? The Rambam says it all depends on what? On mindset. The Yisru Bala Resos Beis Chamav means when you're Bala Resoso and you want her to remain a Resos Beis Chamav. It means we're not interested in getting married right now. We have a wedding date set for 6 months from now. So she's going to be staying in her father's house for the next 6 months. Now, the two of them want to be mezana together. Stam, preaches be out, they want to be mezana together. That's the issue of Bola Rasasa Beis Chamav. But if he wants to use the Bia L'Shem Nisuin, there's a date, there's nothing wrong with that. Ein L'Shem Nisuin, God will be there. Avada Bia is considered to be a Maisa Nisuin. So the kasha, the ran, that it's usur. The answer is no, it's not usur. It's only usur under certain limited circumstances when he wants it to remain the arusasa beveis chamiv. But l'chora, just because we solve the technical problem of hey, it's usur, how can it be kinda? There's still something much more over here. There's a much more serious problem with this ramam. What is that? Menohan mili. Where did it come from? How did the ram know that there's no gemara anywhere? How did chazal? The Rambam says, yeah, it's licked in Chazal, for sure it's true. Where? How do you know? How did Chazal figure this out? How did Tosafot Rashi figure it out? So we know we're dealing with a Din D'Oraisa. There's some kind of a concept called Chuppah, Nisuin, whatever the Mokah, whatever that is, whatever the different Makaris that we quoted on the board yesterday. There's some kind of a process that the Torah is speaking about. The Torah is not speaking about Bia. It doesn't say that you have to have Bia to be Nisuin. There's no such halacha. If a couple has Chuppah, whatever Chuppah means, Yichud, standing under the canopy, Bedekim, whatever you think it means. Midaraisa, there were changes that took place for Yerusha and Tumah and for Kohen Gadol and whatever, different changes that happened on the level of Daraisa. And nowhere does the Torah, nowhere does Chazal even say explicitly that B accomplishes the same feat. So where did the Rishonim get it from? Based on what? How did the Tanoim know it in effect without saying it? What was the Mokor in this intention about that B can accomplish this? So the Ran is struggling with this kasha. So he had twofold objection to the Ram. Objection number one is it was inconceivable logically that the method of creating Nisuin should goofa be an Isser Bola Risasa. So that he answered. The emphasis by saying Kavana changes the game. But it doesn't solve the more basic question, namely, not even where they come from. So the Ran has two possibilities. Who saw the Ran carefully? The Ran has two possibilities. Everyone notice? What did the Ran say? The Ran had two different views. Right, the ball el shem nisuin. The Gemara doesn't say it explicitly. El chuppa. So we don't find explicitly that b is kind el chuppa. We only find the chuppa is kind. Svaru. The kevan the chuppa lo kanya el b'nei shehi tzerich bia. Kol shegein bia atzma shekoyne. Here the runs kavachem. Like a tana. Trying to find a mokum, but not immediately the chup is kind. What's the answer? Kavachim. The b is kind. Kavachim. Ma the chup is kind. And between you and me, what is chup all about? What's the goal of chup? Everybody knows. Come on, the Gemara says kol yodim kavel avnechzel chup. So chup is letzarech bia. So we're trying to create some kind of a prerequisite, a prelude to bia. So according to the Rambam, we have a yichud or a bia. According to some, we stand under a canopy, but that, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it's all a lead up to bia. So says the Ran, and if they did be a mamish without the chuppah, he was bal beveis chamiv, he was somewhere else. But as long as it was done l'shem nisuin, So the Ran Mistabi, that's for sure going to be work. It's a Kavachemi, it's a Kavachemi from Chuppah. So Bia can create the Suah, the Kavachemi from Chuppah. Interesting, Ran Mamsh Darshin Tzuchim, Darshin Kavachemis. But Eidish Lemis says the Ran, I'll give you another Mokhah. Says the Ran, another Mokhah. This Kavachoma sounds vaguely familiar. It's as vague as depending on how much you remember the Gemara. What's the Kavachoma? Says the Ran, listen, Kavachoma. Madach Yavama, if you try to marry Yavama, walk me through this, Rabbi Sai, try to marry Yavama with Kesef, is that going to work? Never going to work. Why is it not going to work? Tell me why. Who's going to tell me quickly? Come on. Why is Kesef Yavama not going to work? What? Only Bia works. How do you know Kesef doesn't work? The Gemara says the Pasuk. What does Rashi say? Rashi says Shizach. And why does Rashi need another reason for the Gemara? What? Because there are two reasons why it should have worked. One is B'toras. No? Didn't we talk about this? We spent the whole weekend this couple of weeks ago, right? Okay, good. Good to see everyone's right with us. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, comes around and says, the Kavachayim, Madach Yavam, that Kesef doesn't work, Bia does work. So a regular woman who Kesef, backtrack for a second. Well, my Yavam, she gets called a Bia Gomeres, but I'm sorry. A Bia Yavam, a Kesef isn't kind of a Bia is Gomeres. Then when you do Yibum, what happens? Does she becomes a what? There's no question she becomes a what? If Yavim is Miyab the Yavam, what does she become? Mekudeshes or Nesua? Nesua. There's no second stage in Yavam. So there's no question, Yavam, Yavala, that's all there is. There ain't no more. So Zo, a regular woman, she kesef kainaba, and Odin should be a gemeris. Kavachemia Bia should work. Sounds like a great Kavachemia. It's a terrible Kavachemia. What was the reputation of that Kavachemia back in Dafhei? Back in Dafdalit, I'm sorry? Mal Yavama Shekane's Kuka via Medes, Tommy Isha Shane's Kuka Medes, listen to the Rans, love this. The Lake Alamefrachidabrachin and Bigamar, Mal Yavama Shekane's Kuka via Medes, Shabzo, the Kuka via Medes. And Arus is also the Kuka via Medes. She's as Kuka Medes, if not more than Yavama. Pretty impressive what the Rans just did. Remember, we had this Kavachimer that if Kesef works, so Kavachimer Bia works. That was a whole limo, the whole Yafusa from Yavama. The only thing that threw a dagger into that Kavachemer was the Kuk of Yamedes. So that showed us, you're trying to learn off of me, the Kuk of Yamedes is going to kill you. So it comes around and says, that's Kuk of Yavama is going to refute Kavachemer. That's when you wanted to learn now to a regular woman, an unmarried woman. You wanted to use the Kavachemer from Yavama to enable you to be the Kaddish and Isha with Bia, that you can't do. Malin Yavama should get Kuk of Yamedes. But if you want to use the identical Kavachemer vis-a-vis in Arusa to create Nisuin, the Kavachemer stands. Kavachemer is Givaldic. Vusfa is Kukavia Menes. Kukavia Menes is not going to help you here. It's not going to hurt you here. Why? Because in Arusa is also the Kukavia Menes. That's a sharp run. Everyone got that run? Everyone followed that run? That's a sharp run. What do you think about that run? Think he's right? He himself wasn't sure he was right. If he was so sure he was right, he wouldn't have given the first answer. What's the potential pitfall with this Ran? Right, let's look at this Kavachemer again. That Madach by Yavama. So we have Kesef, Eino, Gaimer, but Bia is Gaimeres. So in Arusa, regular woman in Isha, what? That Kesef. Kona, maybe I should say Eno Kona, I'm sorry. Kesef is Kona, so Kavachemer, Bia should be Geberes, right? That was the Kavachemer. I'm Ali Yavam, Mashkin Kuk Vimel. Don't ask the Kash, Ali. Because she's also the Kuk Vimel. Is that true? Is that true? Who thinks the Kavachemer is true? Who thinks that Kavachemer is a little bit shaky? Who thinks that what the Ran just said, that a Yavama and an Isha are identical in terms of the characteristic of Zekuk of Yomedes, is correct? How would you begin to analyze this Ran? You see the Ran is hesitating. You see the Ran only came up to this second teretz as a second teretz. In his first teretz, when he just learned the plain, simple Kavachemer, that if Chuppah works, Bia for sure works, you see that the Ran had some hesitation about this second Shtikl Torah. What was the hesitation of the Ran? what is the potential pitfall of this Zikuk of Yamedes? Is Yavama and Arusa equal in terms of Zikuk of Yamedes? How would you begin to analyze this question? Love this 101. I want to know, is Yavama and Arusa identical concerning this principle? What would you have to ask yourself?
What
does Zikuk of Yamedes mean? It's very hard to understand whether A equals B if you have no idea what the principle is. So we have no idea what Zikuk of Yamedes means. So where do we have to go to figure out what Zikuk of Yamedes is? So we have two choices. Either we'll press a couple of buttons and we'll Google Zikuk of Yamedes, or we'll turn a couple of pages back in our notes and we'll come to the realization that there was a major machlokes in Rishonim what Zikuk of Yamedes meant back in the Yavamis days, back in the Avdal of Abayis. What did Zikuk of Yamedes mean back then? Who remembers? You tell me, how many Peshatim in the Rishonim do we have with Zikuk of Yamedes? We had about six Peshatim or so, give or take, between friends. So, no, let's see. What can we plug in? We can help us plug in to Zikuk of Yamedes. So we'll do some of the easy ones. What? So according to many Rishonim, what Zikuk of Yamedes meant was is that there's already a relationship there. Right? Now, who bought into that? Who remembers some of the names who bought into that already pre-existing relationship? Who remembers? Shazna, that was one. Okay. Who else did we have? We have the Ramah, right? Yeah, he says, Mamash like this, right. So according to some Rishonim we had, there's a relationship already there. We'll put the Ridvan to that one also, almost kind of, right? But then there were other Rishonim who said, that's not what Zikuk of Yamedes means. That's Bechlal, not what the words mean. Zikuk of Yamedes. What does Zikuk of Yamedes mean? The Re said there's a mitzvah to have children, remember? The Re said the goal of Yibam is to have children. Who remembers that day we spent the whole day analyzing, is the Re right or not? Is Yibam really children-oriented or not? Remember, we had Taisus and Sugyas and Rashbas, and Yavam is flying all over the place in Nafchaf. So Rabbi say, I'm not so sure that this equation is true. Well, if Yavam is Gugu Yemedes, then Arus is also Gugu Yemedes. Yes, if you think Zikuk of Yamedes means relationship, then you're right. I would say an Arusa is more already related than the Yavama is. But if you say that Zikuk of Yamedes conjures up a different image of the nature, the mitzvah of Yibam is geared towards children, or like the Asameach said, maybe with the Maharik, remember that Yibam is not really a Kinyan, Yibam is more of a mitzvah, right? Remember that other approach of Zikuk of Yamedes? Then I'm not so sure that Zikuk of Yamedes carries over to Arusa. So I'm very, very weary for the second pshat of the Ran. I'm not so sure that the second pshat of the Ran is agreed upon by all the Rishonim. Anyone who wants to come to the conclusion that Bia is valid for Nesuah, which again, the Rambam says it, and Tzadik Rosh says it, and we see Rishonim saying it, and we're stuck with Benon Amil, where did it come from? So the Ran offered us two possible Kavachemis. One was the Kavachemis from Chuppah proper, one was the complicated Kavachemis from Yavama. The complicated Kavachemis from Yavama is a little bit shaky. It has a little bit of a nuance of a problem, depending on how you interpret the Zikuk of Yamedes. Of course, the mile that Kav HaChomer has is that Kav HaChomer is already documented in Chazal. That Kav HaChomer, we know Chazal existed. The other Kav HaChomer that Ron just made up, he just made up on his own. Well, if Chuppah works, which is Torah, be a Kav HaChomer, be itself. Okay, I mean, maybe, but maybe yeah, maybe no. It's hard to know which Kav HaChomers are acceptable. So, again, Abaycha Yivcha, you choose which Kav HaChomer you like. At the end of the day, the Rabbim said, at the end of the day, Tzadik Rosh said it, that Bia is a method of Nisim. Okay, so why does that affect our Sugya? It only affects our Sugya because in the worldview of Rav Huna, we still left with the original question, according to Rav Huna, what's supposed to happen exactly? When you do Chuppah, is that Kedushin or is that Nisuin? So the Tzadik Rosh said, well, to be Kiddushin and then tell me I have to do another Chuppah, that's ridiculous. So you have to conclude one of two things. You have to conclude that the initial Chuppah actually accomplished Kiddushin and Nisuin, or you have to conclude that the initial Chuppah accomplished Kiddushin to be followed by Nisuin, i.e. Derech Bia, assuming again that Derech Bia, the Bia itself is a form of Nisuin. Okay? So a core part of everything we just spoke about has to be evaluated before we can understand what the Tzadik Rosh is doing. But by say, we've been talking so far a lot about Rav Huna. We've been learning this sugya. It's already been a half hour today. We spent an hour yesterday, hour and a half in Shia already. And we've been almost talking side shows. We're talking tangential issues. And we use this as a nice way to talk about Dayo for an hour. It's always nice to talk about Dayo. That's always a nice topic. We used a half hour because I had something I wanted to tell you. I wanted to show you Tzadik Rosh. I want to talk about Rambam and Iran. I had things to tell you. So for an hour and a half, I used as a springboard from Huna to tell you whatever I wanted to talk about. We do that once in a while, probably all the time. But every once in a while, we got to get back to the sugya itself, namely, Rav Huna. Forget what Rav Huna said. Forget what Rabbi Sablowski said. Forget what Rav Huna said. So I'm a Rav Huna, chuppah. Stop. Forget about koinim and kavachayim. We spent yesterday on kavachayim. Today we're talking about koinim. We're going backwards. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about the name Rav Huna. But right now, chuppah, stop. The penalty markers down on the word chuppah. I want to know how I do that. Please tell me, give me a guide, give me an RCA, list. How do I go about it? I'm a rabbi, I'm a young rabbi. So they give you a Sefer HaMadrich. You know what HaMadrich is? Okay, that is a great book, okay? It's the life cycle from beginning to end. It's how you run brisses, how you do pidyon habens, how you name babies, how you marry people off, how you bury people, mamash, from this world to the next, whatever you need, it's all in the Sefer HaMadrich, okay? The little book, the rabbi's handbook. So I'm looking, fiddling through the pages of HaMadrich, to how to run a chuppah. What is a chuppah? So the good news is, it says in the HaMadrich, don't worry about it, this HaMadrich is not written for Afuna people, so we don't really care to run a chuppah, because Kiddushin, we'll tell you how to run Kiddushin, you take a ring, and two witnesses, and it's easy stuff. But wait, I realize that even if I'm not a Rav Huna person, I still have to know how to run a chuppah. You know why? Because Rav Huna took and borrowed the term chuppah from Nisuin, which, by the way, everybody agrees exists, and Rav Huna plugged it into Kiddushin. So Rav Huna is not a Kiddushin for us, because we want Kesef, we don't want chuppah. But we still have to ask Rav Huna, we have very little to go. Tell me what you meant. What does the word chuppah mean? It's important for us also. It's very important. I did a chassid last night, and they were trying to figure out, did they have a chuppah, did they not have a chuppah? What's the deal? Did the suin take place or not? So we hereby begin the sugya defining what the term means. Now again, for Rav Huna's purposes, this is going to be a method of Kiddushin deraisa. It's going to have enough kaminas for Eishes Ish, for Mamzeiros, for Osinah, for Gittin, etc. For us, it's going to have enough kaminas for Yerusha, Tumas Habal, for Arstadarim, etc., all the other strange enough kaminas that we collected and continue to collect. But it's all revolving on what does the chuppah mean? What does the suin mean? So one thing we know, the Gemara uses the terms chuppah and nisuin interchangeably. That we know, but we're not really sure what the word means. So we have the Rambam and the Chazishas. And the Rambam has a startling description of what chuppah means. You know what chuppah means? The Rambam never heard of poles and canopies. He never heard of people walking down. He never heard of music. He never heard of giving out candies as you're walking into the chuppah. He never heard of any of that stuff. Okay? The Rambam says, you know what chuppah means? You know what nisuin means? After Kiddushin was done, whether it was done a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 weeks ago, or 10 minutes ago, after Kiddushin is done, the chassid and the kala go to a room together in the state of Yichud, and they enter this Yichud room together, and that's it. That is the Chuppah Amur B'Torah. That's Chuppah Amur B'Chol Makayim. That is what creates the Chel Hashem of Nesua. She goes into the Chuppah, goes to the Yichud room together. And the Ram adds on, and the Ram says, and this Yichud room that they're going into together, the goal is quote unquote to have bia, not that they're really going to have bia in the yichud room, but in theory they could, and therefore the yichud has to be, not just the yichud has to be what's called the yichud aroy labia, and therefore the Rambam says, because it has to be a yichud aroy labia, if for whatever reason it's not roy labia, if for whatever reason there's some kind of a halachic impediment to this bia, so therefore the Rambam says, then this is always, that's not called yichud. What would be some examples of a halach impediment to the bia? The obvious one that the Rambam himself quotes is what? She's a nida. The chuppah is a nida. So she's a nida. So you close the door for the April tomorrow, it's still going to be a problem. If I get, you're not even allowed to close the door. There's just a yichud at that point. Kodim bia rishayna. But that's a side. It means, how can you have possible a yichud if it's not yichud or a bia? So that's the only case that the Rambam singles out Feirish as being disqualified for nesuah, because it's not a yichud or a bia. There were some other possibilities. There were no other possibilities. Some other examples of possible yichud she'en aroy labia that the Rambam may have issues with. So the Ran, at the very beginning of Ksubis, suggests another one. The din is that if a couple is married, but they don't have a ksuba, so they're not allowed to live together. They have to make sure they have a ksuba. Even though the halacha is, even if the husband doesn't write a ksuba, he's still meshuba to pay out the money of the ksuba, because it was a tekanas lis, it's a din derais, it's a din derabaran, it's a din ksubas. He has to pay the ksuba no matter what, whether he wrote the document or not. But mid the Rabbanan, the Chacham said that cold man, she doesn't have the piece of paper, not literally in her hands, but basically in her hands, so then the couple aren't allowed to be together. So the Ran, the beginning of Masechet Ksubos, claims based on a Baal Iter and based on a Rambam, that the ksuba is not yet written. So since it's a yichud, but it's a yichud in a real abiyah, because even if they would want to be together, the halacha would prohibit it. So the Ran claims that would also possibly be a yichud in a real abiyah. So again, the Ram doesn't say that explicitly, but that's the Ran's, you know, Ran's building off of, spin off of the Rambam.
In the room.
That would also be a yichash in the room. Be, I don't know about that. I have to think about that a little bit more. I mean, there are a lot of ways to, you know, get around that. So there's a famous kasha. Who knows a famous kasha? Famous kasha in the Acharonim. Shah Melech, I think, was the first one to start this kasha. On the Beis Amelach Maseches Yuma. What? Couldn't go on one? On Yom Kippur, I think about this whole discussion about the Kohen Gadol and the wife dies in her, and there's a whole Chagadja. So potentially, maybe it could be that the Kohen Gadol is going to have to get married on Yom Kippur itself, with all the potential halachic problems of that. And it's not enough for him just to be Makadosh and Isha, it has to be what? There's another Nafkamina, by the way, between Arusa and Nesua. The Chippur Biadova Ad Beisa, it's got to be Beisa, so Ishto, that din of Beisa only kicks in when she's in his bias, namely after Nesuin. Because the famous kasha of the Shai Melech, how in the world could he do nisuin according to the Rambam on Yom Kippur? She's what? There's a nisubiyah. Because what's one of the chamesh nisuin on Yom Kippur? It should be a yichash and a relubiyah. Famous kasha of the Shai Melech. Again, not for now. But in the Rambam itself, the only case the Rambam says explicitly is the case of the nidam. So the Rambam says that is chup. Chup and nisuin means yichash and a relubiyah. Where did the Rambam get this from? Where did the Rambam dig this idea up from? So the Rishonim points out that there are two Gemaras that serve as the basis for the Shita Sirama. The two Gemaras in the Maseches Ksubis, one of them is a little more explicit, less explicit. The Gemara later on, in the fifth parak of Maseches Ksubis, actually uses the term Yichud Arei Lebiyah in the context of Chuppah. The particular context of the Gemara was talking about something very unique. What was the unique case the Gemara was talking about? Anyone actually looked up the Gemara? I put it on the Maseches Ksubis, no? I put the Rosh in the Maram Kovas, okay? The Mishnah, Seches Ksubas, says that even though there's a din, either the Raisa, the Rabbanan, that you have to give 200 zuz, if she's a Basula, came after the first time, it's 200 zuz, and Amana, Grusha, it's 100 zuz. That's the Ika Ksuba. You want to give more because of day? That's what the first Mishnah, the fifth prayer Ksubas opens up with. Afalpi, even though you have to give 200, Imratzalahosef Yosef. If he wants to add on Gesundheit, sky's the limit. We call Tosefes Ksuba. That's what we do, Bizman Azel. We don't just cheap, you know, 200 zuz and call it a day. We add on a lot more than that. What do we add on, Bizman Azel? A lot of money. What do we add on? 100 zakukin kesef tsaruf. Right? 100 pure silver coins of the denomination of the zakukin currency. Who knows what that is? It's been out of mint since about 500 years ago in Germany, okay? But Mez Kuchen Kesef Tzarf, me delay. And then the guy's a real sport, this chassan, right? What else does he get on for good luck? Because the Kala comes and says, listen, I'm bringing in such good stuff into this marriage, right? I'm bringing in, you know, pots and pans and blankets and cars and apartments and all kind of stuff I'm bringing into this marriage. And wow, the chassan says, you know, I'm going to be such a nice guy. I'm going to give you some exorbitant amount of money that's worth way more than what you're bringing in. I'm going to just make believe. I'm going to give you a round, you know, lump sum. I'm going to cobble up on myself a chrayas that if by some chance this marriage breaks up, I'm going to give you another Mez Kukim Kesef Tzarf. Sach HaKol Masayim Zukukim Kesef Tzarf. Right? Bob is a real sport, this guy. So in Europe, they used to do this. For hundreds of years, Ashkenaz communities used to do this. Why did they do this? Why they do this? You don't have to do this. You don't have to write Tosafos. You don't have to write Medunyas. You don't have to do any of this. So why they do this? Because they felt bad. No one had any money anyway. The whole thing was a big joke. No one was ever going to pay this money. No one ever had this kind of money. But you want to feel rich at least one day in your life. So they would write these exorbitant sums. You know, the whole chasana was like fiddler on the roof. You know, you brought your own chicken to eat, and you know that was it. And the bekosha, she brought a half a feather blanket. That was the whole nedudya. And the chasid, what's he going to give her? What's his name? Muttel, the tailor. What's he going to give her for a ksuba? It's a half an undershirt that he's going to sew on his sewing machine. What is that? So it's garnish. Nobody had anything. But still, you know, Tevye wanted to feel rich, and Mata wanted, everyone wants to feel rich. So Shoen used to write these exorbitant numbers, and it's not going to get collected anyway. So hundreds of years later, we still write the same numbers. Nobody takes them this seriously anyway. But it's fine, I'm going to write real numbers, right? What'd you write? Remember how much you wrote? You know how much you wrote? It was a lot of money. I think I remember how much I wrote, no? Wasn't I involved in that?
Yeah, you're involved.
Yeah. I don't know, I think I left the ksuba to somebody else. It was too complicated for me. So it was a lot of money. A lot of money. I remember once a kedushin for one of my tamidim, and he had the Sephardi boy, and I told him, listen, I said, I don't know too much about the ksuba, so maybe just make sure somebody else knows what's going on. He promised me someone would, it wasn't going there, promised me someone else is going to know what's going on. I remember I came to the chasana, and the person who was supposed to know what was going on, I remember him with, wasn't sure spread the whole soup upside down, and he wasn't the person in charge over there. So nobody seemed to know what was going on. So I was stuck. So I couldn't even figure out how to fill out the first line. There were too many lines that didn't belong, and they belonged, I just had no idea what was supposed to go in the lines. And I'm scratching my head and trying to figure out what to fill in. And I remember it was right around like Mincha Maariv time. In shul, so I started to call one or two rabbanim, some Sephardi rabbanim, and they were all davening mincha. No one could help me. And I was going nuts. I was trying to figure out what the. And then finally, I got somebody on the phone who said to me, "That's where you fill in where the rivers are, you know, like in a get." So some, I don't know if your dad has that. Like when you fill in a, when you fill out a get, so you write out not just the place, you write on the side of the East River or on the side of the Hudson River. So that this particular Eda had that in the ksuba also. I couldn't figure out what was supposed to be on this line. So now I had a geography lesson of New York City where the rivers were for the ksuba. Anyway, good. So it says a lot of money in there. That's what they said for ksuba. So the Mishnah says, say a guy writes a ksuba at the time of Kedushin. Now the Yemen says nobody told him to write a time of Kedushin. He's not mechuyev to write a time of Kedushin, but he decided to write it anyway. A nice guy writes the ksuba at the time of Kedushin. And then for some reason, the marriage never reaches the suin. He dies, divorce, they break up before they even get to the suin. So she walks into Bezin with the shtar. And the shtar says, "Hey, you owe me 200 zuz plus a whopper of a tesefis ksuba." So what's the answer to that? So the Mishnah quotes what Blazman is that we paskin like. By the following chiddush, she says, the ksuba itself, he's got to pay. Nobody told him to write it, but he wrote it anyway. It's mishabim. The tesefis ksuba, even though nobody told him to write it also, it's understood no normal, sane individual is going to be mishabim himself for these exorbitant amounts of money unless he at least tasted the fruits of marriage. At least he got some marriage out of this. So if he got married, that they lived for 10 years, they're happily for 10 years, obviously not so happy because at the end they get divorced or he dies, whatever it is. So at least they had some kind of a marriage together. So okay, Zolzani has to pair everything. But if they didn't even get to the point of nisuin, garnish, or nothing. So he says, Rav Elazar says, as under the muchas understood that Bechiah Gadi was never mishab himself to pay the tesefes. So he just has to pay the ikar ksuba to and doesn't call it a day. That's the chiddush of Rav Elazar. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara goes to the intricacies. But what's called the suin? What point is it to be the suin? What if, the Gemara says, what if they went to the chuppah, but she was in nida? Maybe you can argue she was in nida already, and they may have kind of had the suin, but that kind of suin that he didn't even have the possibility even of having being with her, even once. So maybe Bechiah Gavna, and then they got divorced right away. Then he died right away. So maybe Bechiah Gavna, the umdun is, he probably still wasn't Meshavet himself. So it's in that sugya tucked away in the middle of the fifth paragraph of Ksubas that the Gemara goes to the nitty gritty. What's the moment of truth of Nisuin? Is it going to the Yichud room? Is it Yichud room when she's a Torah, even when she's Tevayah, back and forth? So the Rambam says, that you need Yichud Aroi Leviya. That was the Rambam's raya. So which the Rush said, what? What was the Rush's response to the Rambam? The Gemara there is talking in the middle of the fifth parak of Maseches Ksubas about a very, very small, intricate detail of marriage, i.e. the Meshuggah who wrote a million Zukukim and then died before he got to be together with his wife. So the Gemara wanted to know if they did Yichud, but she was already in need at the time, is that considered to be enough for Gemara's Da'at? Chibas Bia Koina, Chibas Chuppah Koina. That's what the Gemara is teaching us, what Chuppah is. First of all, if you wanted to tell me where Chuppah is, I'd write a Maseches Kedushin, not a Maseches Ksubas. The Gemara is not even talking about what chuppah is. What is chuppah? If you got to look in the Hamadrich, let's turn to the next page. Figure out what chuppah is. But it's not that. So the Rush says he doesn't believe what the Rambam says. Right? I can't believe that Gemara has any bearing whatsoever in our discussion. Should we try again? Any other Gemaras? Any other shots? There was a Gemara in the beginning of Ksubas. Mamash Nabeis in Masech Ksubas. What the Gemara discusses, the first Mishnah Masech Ksubas discusses that in the olden days, when we get married, when? Psul Nisus, when? The Yom Arviyah. The whole first two Dabas Masech Ksubas, why they instituted that. Psul Nisus, the Yom Arviyah. Good, fine. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah later on in Maseches Ksubas that when a couple has Kedushin, his Mekadoshar, he's not Mechuyav to support her yet. The Chiyav to support your wife only begins at Nisuin. So he's Mekadoshar on September 1st, beginning of the year. And they set a date for the Nisuin. When's graduation? May what? Good. So May 25th, they're ready to get married. Okay? So Mekadoshar, so he goes back to his dorm room, she goes back to her dorm room, sure, shuttle, whatever it is, and they see each other a little bit during the year, and sure, okay? May 25th is the great day ready for them to get married. They set the time to get married. Higiyah's man. And then the husband of September 25th, he's got other things going on. He says, not yet, you know, I got a couple of papers I didn't finish yet, you know, a couple of things here and there. Let's make some summer plans yet. You know, it's Shavuot. Got to go on Torah tours again. And he's got a couple of things going on in his life. Two Torah tours advertisements in one Shia. And you know, it's ready. It's June 1st and June 20th. And it's August 15th. And she's hungry. The husband and her father, they threw her out of the house. He says, enough. Come on. That's it. Finished. Done. Somebody was telling me last night. Someone was giving me a drive back from the chasana. They were telling me about they married off their kids not that long ago. So he said that when I married off my son, he said, I told my daughter-in-law, I said, we have one rule in that house, no return. So the, I wouldn't say such a thing, but yes, he felt the need to say such a thing. So the father's fed up already. He said, I've been paying for this girl's school, we're paying for our food, and Shanganik already. How you want? I should pay another year of tafkots for this commander already. And the husband's nowhere to be found. He's draining the harem. He decided to go to camp for the summer. He's running NCSY jolt somewhere. He's, hey. So the Arusa, she's hungry. The father's, he's already got to look for a shidduch for the next daughter. And the husband's nowhere around. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Masechet Ksubas, he gives Mavo Nisu, Oichlas Mishalai. So the Beis Din will turn around and send the bill to the husband. Aye, but they're not Nisuah yet. They didn't do Nisuah yet. It's not fair. So in that sugya, the Gemara raises the following question: what if it comes May 25th and he's all ready to do the nisuin? He's ready. Mama, she finished. He gave it his last paper last night. He's ready to have the nisuin today. It happens to be she's in either right now. She's not going to make for another week. So she's not going to have the nisuin now. So the Gemara says, you're right. If she's in need now, so then one can argue, all right, we'll give him a free, we'll give the husband a free, he doesn't have to pay for the next week of food. So that'll go buy her own salads for this week. He doesn't have to support her for the next week, because it's not really Higiyah's man, because she's in need. So come to Rishonim and say, aha, this Gemara is a support for the Rambam Shita. Why? Because the Rambam said, you can't create a Nisuin when she's in need, because you need a Yichud HaRei Lebi'a. So what, that's exactly what this Gemara is saying. That, what do you want from the guy? Tell him, do Nisuin. I'd love to do Nisuin, but I can't, she's in need. Because you can't do Nisuin with the Nida, because you need a Chabar Relabiya. You need a Yichud HaRei Lebi'a. That's the Rambam's second Macha. What do you think about this Macha? You think this is a convincing Macha, an ironclad proof? Well, what do you think? This Gemara is a Raya. How can it be Derech this Raya? The Gemara set up Din, you can't create a Chuppah with a Nida. What was the purpose of her to say? That the husband has a kindness. The husband says, you want me to do Nisuin now? I don't want to do Nisuin now. We can't be together for another week, so what's the purpose? We're going to do Nisuin, and then what are we going to do? The din is we can't have Yichud even for the next week, so we're going to have to bring a little kid to sleep in the house for the week. It's silly. Let's push the wedding off for another week. So the Gemara says, Taka, the husband has a good taina. It's a valid taina, and therefore you can't force him to support his wife for the coming week. The Gemara never said boo, never said a word about is the chuppah going to be chal or not. If he wants, maybe you can't create chuppah with the nida. Vishtet, you can't create chuppah with the nida. All the Gemara said is that you can't send the husband a bill now because he has a justified, legitimate claim why he doesn't want to do nisuin now. Could he do nisuin? Maybe. Is he forced to do nisuin? He's not mechuyev to, because not practical, not feasible for him to do. It's not comfortable for him to do nesu'in right now. So we had two grandiose gemaras that we thought were unbelievable rayas for the Rambam. One the gemara in Daf Zayin Ksubas, one the gemara in Beis Ksubas. And when the Rishonim got done with these rayas, the Rosh and Rambam got done with these rayas, the Nishkin read, there's no rayas. There's no rayas for the Rambam. So the Rambam stands alone without any rayas. Rambam sticks this position that chuppah, both in terms of Ravuna's chuppah and in terms of the Rabbanon's chuppah for Nisuin, means a yichud or a levim. Any Rishon who doesn't buy into the Rambam has to. It's very easy to reject the Rambam. You can negate the Rambam's two proofs, and then you're just left with nothing. You don't think the Rambam intuitively is right. There's no Raya in the Gemara to support it. So you have to come up with an alternate method of Chuppah. So what is Chuppah? If the Rambam's not right, so Taka, what is Chuppah? What do you think Chuppah is? Who's going to tell me? What do you think Chuppah is? How would you even begin to address this question of what Chuppah is? Who would you probably have to go back to? What would be a good place? You're looking for a source for something. What's a good place to go? The Chumash is a good place to start. So you would probably want to search through the Chumash, very similar to the search that we did yesterday at the beginning of this year. And look, does the Torah give us any inkling, any hint of what Chuppah is? And all the different distinctions between Arusa and Nesua that appear in the Chumash, is there any hint whatsoever as to what this magical, mystical Nesua and slash Chuppah is all about? So we start to think, we start the ball rolling, and go back to yesterday's question. So, Mr. Alter, we'll let you let off yesterday, we'll let you lead off again. So give me enough, give me an Ladina between Arusa and Nesua.
Well, we said inheritance.
So good, Yerusha, good. Right where you started yesterday, right? Which again, just as I said yesterday, according to the Rambam, it's probably not going to work that one because the Rambam holds Yerusha there, but it's a good one. We'll, I like it anyway. I don't mind. Good, okay. So let's start with Yerusha, okay? So Yerusha, what magic words does the Torah use that led us to believe there's a difference between Eris and Nisuin? She'er, right? She'er. Does that indicate anything? Does She'er teach me anything? That this woman is my She'er, she's not my She'er? Does that have any clue in those three letters? I don't have a clue about what Chuppah is, but I may have an interesting clue about something else that we almost forgot about. We spoke about it a half hour ago. Remember the Rambam told us the alternate method for Chuppah? Chuppah B, Nisuin part 2, that most people don't do. What was the other one? Bia, remember? And the Rambam never told us how he knew that. Chazal never told us how they knew that. And who was scrounging around looking for a Mokar? Who? Did we just talk about it? The Ran, remember the Ran was dashing Kavachomis. It's a Kavachomis from Yevaman, it's Kugav Yemedis, it's a Kavachomis from Chuppah. How can God, your whole story? Could we go simpler than the Ran and say, hey, in our research of Torah literature, of different scenarios where the Torah speaks about Kedushin and Nesuin, the Torah uses the word She'er. This woman is my She'er. What does She'er mean? Ish Isha called She'er Bisarai. What does She'er mean? That they almost share flesh. Right? That's what it means. What does that mean? Yeah. That means Bia. That's a poetic, that's a nice way of saying, Lashon HaKiyuv saying Bia. So could it be that we're looking for one thing and we hit gold, we discover something else? Not the first, not the last time, neither in life or in Lomdus where that happens. Sometimes you're looking for something and we struck gold in a different sugya. We just answered the Ran's dilemma. What's the mocker that Bia works? I'll tell you the mocker. It's a Pasuk Chumash. That's exactly what the Torah says. She's She'er Bisari. Not bad. It's a great solution to the problem that we solved a half hour ago. But we're back to square one. But what about Chuppah? Chuppah is not Bia. I mean, Bia may be another form of Nesuah, but the word Chuppah in Chazal does not mean Sasanamas for Bia. So this parish of Yerusha probably is not going to help me that much. She'er is probably not going to do the trick. Give me another one. We'll get another one for you. Tumah, right? Gemara says Beferish that a Kayin is Metame for Ishtai, but only with Ishtai Nesua, not Ishtai Arusa. How do you know that? And more Lakonim B'nei Aron V'yamar Tolehem L'nefesh R'etamah B'yamah Avki. Right? Another interesting idea. She'er, once again repeating itself. But it's not going to help me anymore than the first one helped me. I'm not doing so well. I'm 0 for 2. I'm still looking. I found a great discovery to the kasha that I'm not dealing with. But the kasha that at hand, I'm still missing. Give me a mocha. Chumash. What?
No.
Zonos? She'er, exusiv, yonos, aligra. I'm not sure asking how much. These three used to go hand in hand. L'yorsha, l'tamela, ulawa, ulahafer, nidareha. So remember, the Torah speaks about hafaras nidar, the husband could be made for nidre ishtai. The Torah speaks about a very unique case where a husband actually can be made for nidre ishtai, kind of when there be erusa, when there be erusa, only if she's a nara hama'orasa. Remember? Nara ma'orasa, v'yo b'ayel m'fri nidareha. I think we learned it back in Daf Dalet. The other Torah says, "Vim hayo siyela ish lashon havaya." That's kedushin, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for not a naimer. I'm looking for a 25-year-old woman. If she's only an arusa, the husband cannot be made for her nedarim. But if she's already a nesua, then the husband alone. There's no father. Father's out of the picture. He's been out of the picture for 13 years already. 25-year-old lady gets married. She enters into nesuin with her husband, and then she takes some cuckoo neder. He can be made for that neder. If it meets the criteria of nedarim that are subject to be made for, he can be made for that neder. How do you know? Where does the Torah spell out this idea that it only applies to nesuah, not to arusa? We need a bakari for this one. V'imbeis. Let's hear it. Give a good cough when you say the next word. V'imbeis isha nedara. Okay, the Balkoi who says Vimbeis Yisha Nadara without saying the ha, you gotta correct him. It's a different word. Beis Yisha without a Bapake means the woman's house. Beis Yisha means her husband's house. We have Ram Isha. Lowly Isha. Better be careful in that one. It's a different word, Lagamre. First, the Dharma, not bad. Here, the Torah doesn't speak about She'er. Here it talks about bias. Yeah. Comes around and says, I'll tell you what chuppah is. You know what chuppah is? When she does what? When she comes to his house. That's what the suah means. There's no great baidaba shabba shalema minon immediately that, but the Torah says it. Vibesi shanadara. When she calls man that she lives the vase aviha. So then, she's in Arusa. Kozban, she's living Beveis, by law, she's in the suit. Do you have to have a formal, official ceremony with a Yichud, with a Relabiyah, with a Halchayat? No. What if she's a Nida, but she comes to his house, either in the Yichud, so she brings 15 other people with her. The whole family moves in for the week. But in Beis Isha Nadara, she moved into her husband's house. She brought all her clothes, plus stuff in. She's living here. She didn't just come for coffee, she's here to stay. In Beisi Shanadara. Das is the suin. So Rabbi said, we have two very, very different images of what the suin is. Going around, there's a very specific official halachic procedure called the chuppah with the yichud, yichud of relevia. Going around, Beisi Shanadara.
Is it possible the Rambam would be masking that would work, but not the chuppah? Or is it impossible?
The Rambam would say, if she's, it may also be a yichud. If they come to their house, it's no worse than being in the hotel room yichud. But if it doesn't meet the criteria of yichud or lebiyah that the Rambam delineated, it's not going to work.
The Rambam says you don't need
yichud. You can have 20 other people there. The Rambam doesn't say you have to go by yourselves home.
Isn't the Rambam's lashon also just bring her machas lebeisa?
Who?
The Rambam.
But the Rambam later on says it has to be yichud or lebiyah. The Rambam says it pierce the need. There's no good. It's got to be a yichud. It's got to be a yichud or lebiyah.
Within the Rambam that says that the person is no good, could it be that's only, meaning they were over some type of an iser, but
no, the Rambam says that's not good. No, the Rambam says that's no good. The Rambam says that's not nisuin. It's a suffix because it's only a bayit lipshut in the Gemara. The Rambam says we're not sure that it's even nisuin. It may not be nisuin. Is there any other possibilities? You don't want to go to the extreme of the Rambam that it's almost a nothing. On the other hand, you don't want to go to the Rambam because it's got to be a yichud or relabiyah. Are there any other possibilities somewhere in the middle? Are there any other processes that could perhaps be the nisuin? Anyone have any ideas?
Well,
So here you find different Rishonim giving almost different kinds of processes. Anyone know what they are? Some of them are? So some Rishonim say that the Rambam is too extreme. Yichad or Labia, that you don't need. But then in the Ran, there's nothing. There is something. It's almost a symbolic Knisa Labeso. It's almost like the Ran is saying that the focus is really on the word bias. It's a Knisa Labeso. Knisa Labeso isn't an absolute mamish walk into his literal house. You have to do some other something that mimics the Knisa Labeso. What are some of the other things that could possibly mimic a Knisa Labeso? Any ideas? You take four poles, put the talus on top of it, whether it's true, it's a Pesach, if it was Erevin or not, I can't tell you. Showing those are bias also. Those are the bias. Sometimes they tell couples, there are two different batim in halacha. There's the Rambam's for the Bia, then there's the Chuppah. Because you have to know in married life, sometimes your house has to be locked. Sometimes the house has to be wide open. There are times when the door has to be closed and nobody else is there, including extended family members. And there are other times when everyone's there. Your parents are here, our parents are here, the grandparents are here, the sisters are here, the brothers are here, the photographers are here, the rabbi, everybody's here. It's one big free chaos hefkevel. So you have to know. There are times when one is appropriate, times when the other is appropriate. Two different models. Are there any other models of what Nisuin could be? I'm just throwing out ideas. Okay, we're collecting different possibilities. Anything else? Any other ideas? So some Rishonim say, doesn't have to be such a formal, like in a room together. Doesn't have to be such a formal in a bias together. Doesn't have to be under a canopy together. Much, much cozier. What is that? Take a talus, throw it over the chasen and kala together, and shine. That's also good. That's also shtichel nesuin. Anyone know where that comes from? I read a pasuk in Megillas Rus. Ufarasta, knofecha la basecha. That's also, that's a very house. Very, very small. Some Rishonim say that. Some the Sfaradim do that. Right? Talus over the Chazan Kala. Any other ideas? So the Mordechai writes, Yetzis Benuma, there's a Badiakin, he comes in, he covers over. That's also a Kenisa L'Chuppah. Of course, a small technical problem with that. What is it? She's not Yom Kodesh. Oh, but it's the big deal. No big deal. I've assumed before everything. No, but okay, that's a whole topic in of itself. So you have almost three different versions in the Rishonim what this magic Chuppah is that both of Huna is referring to, as well as we ultimately are referring to when we speak about Nisuin, Chuppah creating Nisuin. Either it's the Rambam's absolute strict level of Yichud HaRelevia, or the Ran's more almost casual of just Knisa LeBeso, or some other process that takes place around the wedding time, any of the above that we just mentioned. What's that meaning? What do we do? Bizman Hazeh? Most of us, Ashkenazimists, what do we do? We want to be married holidays. You're paying $100,000, you want to at least walk away with saying you're married. According to most Rishonim, you're married. So we do everything. We do the Badekin beforehand. Why not? Nothing to lose. According to one day in Rishonim. We stand on the Rechopah together. Sometimes they do throw a talus on. Sometimes they throw a talus on. We have a yichud room. And then available goes overnight. So we cover. All bases will come. Baruch Hashem. And whoever's married here in this year, they're married with Eretz and Nesu and L'chol Des. Gevalt. Wonderful. Rabbi Sai, so we spent a lot of time on what chuppah means. We spent a lot of time on the intricacies of the Kal V'Chomer Rav Huna, on some of the objections to the Kal V'Chomer, on the dios of the Kal V'Chomer, what the world would have looked like, what Kedushin / Nisuin of Chuppah would have looked like according to Rav Huna, would have been one Chuppah, two Chuppahs, one Chuppah, one Bia, all the above. But you know, with all said and done, we still haven't gotten to the core of the Sugya. Because the real essence of the Sugya is Rav Huna's understanding that we can draw a line from Isha Nikkei Spagibul Derachim, link it to the Parash of Nisuin, and we just built a bridge from one to another. If chuppah, whatever chuppah means, if it works for Nisuin, then it works for Kedusha. That's what Rav Huna, in his heart of heart, in his soul, that's what Rav Huna said. The chuppah works to create the suah, and then ultimately it works to create kedusha. You want to call it a kavah chayimi, you want to call it a bematzina, you want to have a kasha with daya with nishtach. At the end of the day, what Rav Huna did was is that he drew an arrow from the suin right into the parish of kedusha. And in the heart of all the rabbanan, all the other amirayim, Rav included on Hamud Beis, everyone who was the bar pluktas of Rav Huna, everyone who disagreed with Rav Huna, at the end of the day, didn't buy into that bridge. Now, how they got not buying into the bridge? Because they held the Kavach HaMor was no good, because they held from Dayak, because they held the Matzir. They had to steer the Mishnah says 3, not 4. It's all true, and you know, the Gemara spends a lot of time on the intricacies of how they figured out that Rav Huna is not right. But when the dust settles in the sugya, what's really happening between Rav Huna and everybody else is just how similar, just how close are these two chalaisim to one another. Can we draw this arrow? That's Rav Huna's arrow. Or do we have to say, like everybody else, the Rav Huna, all the other Amoraim, who say that the arrow is not an acceptable arrow? Rabbi say, putting aside all the kashas and the terutzim with the dayos and the kavachim and the metzinas and the pirchas, what's the real heart of the sugya? What do you think the din should be? Do you think Rav Huna's fundamental premise is correct? That Nisun and Kedushin are so close to one another we can extrapolate one from another just like that? Or do you think that everybody else's opinion is correct, that these cousins are too distant from one another, you can't even, they're not even sitting at the same table, they don't know each other, they can't even relate to one another, Kedushin. What do you think about this question? What would you think aside of Hamid Aleph and Hamid Beis? How would you tackle this? Come on, let's go back to our every Lumdish question. We had this before. Whenever you want to draw arrows, you want to compare certain dinim, you have to understand what the essence of the din is. It's not enough just to understand a din superficially. What does Rashi write in the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim? Asher tasim lefneihem, that the only way, that the Rosh Hashanah gave Moshe Rabbeinu 500 dinim of Parashat Mishpatim, but they're going to be dinei Torah, they're going to be 5 trillion dinim of dinei Torah throughout the years. How are you going to know how to extrapolate from Shemichinam? Is this what the Torah meant? How do you extrapolate? Is this what the Shoham Azik means? The only way to extrapolate is the Shetosim with them. You have to chazer and analyze and understand. Tamim Hatluyim Bo. That's what the Rashi quotes from Chazal. You have to understand what the reason is. If you don't understand the reason, how can you be Medam and Milsa and Milsa? That's what all of Talmud is. That's what the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah describes Mikra, Mishnah, Ugemara, the three parts of Talmud Torah. So the Rambam writes the part of Talmud, Gemara, which we do all the time, Lomdus, whatever you want to call it, is to understand what the essence of a din is. If you understand what the din is all about, then you have a fighting chance to know how to reply properly. If you have no idea what the nature of the din is, how are you going to know what to do with it? So we want to know, can we take the suin and plug it into Kedushin or not? So Kedushin, we have a fighting chance. We think we know what Kedushin is. We haven't learned Kedushin for 3 months. We think we know a little bit about Kedushin. If we had to think of one word that's probably really, really important about Kedushin, the one halachic legal description of Kedushin, which is also a very, very loaded term in terms of Kedushin, but we're going to follow in Chazal's footsteps. You could probably call Kedushin a what? A kinyan. I call it a kinyan. I mean, we had reason to believe throughout Dav Gimel, Dav Dal that it was a kinyan. Remember? The Gemara was trying to learn out what from what? Who remembers? And we're learning Amma Ivriya and Pidyon Maiser. Every time the Gemara had any discussion about a potential method of Kedushin derived from other areas of Halacha, we kept on throwing the same question at the Gemara. How could you learn out Kedushin from Pidyon Maiser Sheni? Doesn't that indicate that Pidyon Maiser Sheni is a Kenyan? Remember that? Who taught us that? Who was responsible for that? Who taught us that? From the fact that the Gemara compares Kedushin to Pidyon Maiser Sheni, what do you see from here? That Pidyon Maiser Sheni is a what? Is a Kenyan. Who said that? Maaseh Sheni, Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. Who said, Zelman from Dada, Pidyon Maaseh Sheni is a Kenyan? Wasn't so long ago, guys. The Gemara are back and forth. They're trying to learn out Kedushin. The Gemara says, Malishtar, Shekain, Ein Potobak, Maaseh Sheni. What is Pidyon Maaseh Sheni? It's a Kenyan. Who said that? Reb Chaim said that. That was a steer of Reb Chaim. That was the last week. That was a steer of Reb Chaim, right? So Reb Chaim looked at the Gemara in Dav Hei and says, Pidyon is a Kenyan. And then he said correctly, when the Gemara compared Yibum and Kedushin, so what did the Maharik say? Zetman Fanda, the Yibum is a what? Is a Kenyan. And the Yosemer Vichoy was that was the beginning of the Gemara, not the end of the Gemara. And when we learned back about That shichra vadim, right? Everything was kinyan. Everything was kinyan, 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 kinyan. How do we know the kiddushin is a kinyan? That's the base of kiddushin. Isha nikdet the base, the second word in the Masechta. Even if you go slowly, you got to the second word. It's hard to stick on the first word for so long. Isha nikdet, so some kind of a kinyan here. Now, truth to be told, we saw some Rishonim who put a really, really big, super duper emphasis on this kinyan, and there are other Rishonim who try to downplay it a little bit. Who remembers? Didn't we just talk about this? No? Who remembers? Come on, it's Chazar. The whole Masechta is coming back. Which Rishonim were the big, super duper believers that kinyan doesn't really mean kinyan? Who was the Rishon who said, kidding, don't kid yourself? Rashba. Didn't the Rashba in the Sugi of Haramas Rivas, right? The Rivas Sugi, right? Do you know what this? On the other hand, who was some of the Rishon who said that Kenyan really means it? The Ritva. Who was some of the Haram who said Kenyan really meant it? Who was the biggest Achron who supported the idea of conditions of Kenyan? But Yeshua, it's like selling a car twice. Remember that one? Right? So we've gone back and forth with this Kenyan story. But there are definitely some who think that Kiddushin is a real live Kinyan. It's got all the trappings of Kinyanim. I asked you a question, Rabbi Shai, food for thought for tomorrow. If Kiddushin is such a super duper duper Kinyan, is Nisuin a super duper Kinyan? Is Nisuin a Kinyan altogether? What are you being kona? Who are you being kona exactly? You mean kona the woman? What's the answer? You own her already, Isha Niknes. So what are you doing in Nisuin legally? In Chay Shidush, in the world of the Nimamras, what are you doing at the Bishas Nisuin? Are you being Kainar? Or is something else going on? Perhaps depending on what you think Nisuin is, and perhaps depending on what you think Kedushin is or is not, that may be the root of what Rav Huna and the Rabban are really fighting out. Behind all the smoke screens and the dials and the Pirchas and the Kavachos and the Metzinos, there may be some fundamental argument, or fundamental machlokes taking place in its heart of heart, its essence. What is Kiddushin? What is Nisuin? Are they really the same? Are they identical? Are they not? Hopefully, I'll show them tomorrow. We'll